Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expeditions of the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience tonight. Tonight we have with us Denny Wilson, who preaches for the De Leon Church of Christ, and also Frank Briscoe, longtime preacher of the gospel himself. And we're happy to have them with us tonight. We're going to have a little bit of a round table discussion on an item that would be, of extreme importance to you. We are airing on KETX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, and also KNNK 100.5 out of Hereford, as well as KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma. We're also airing on Know the Truth Radio, and we want to be sure that you realize that this is a live call-in talk show. And if you have any questions or comments about our radio program, we encourage you to call us at 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Remember also that this is our motto is, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's listen to what the Bible has to say. Our sponsors for this program are the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, and the Fourth and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas. We want to remind you that David's been gone for a good long while, been gone for, I guess, some 3 months now, but it looks very good that he's going to be coming home on Thursday, preaching his first gospel sermon coming up this Sunday, and hopefully next Monday he'll be back on the radio program once again. We miss David, and we're just glad that things are going well for him. You know, we're living in a day where our young people are destroying and hurting themselves and also society by their drug use, premarital sex, and we could just go on and on with a list of things that they are causing great problems to their own lives and problems to our society. And much of the problem, if not all of the problem, stems from dysfunctional families. I want to talk about dysfunctional families for just a moment. Our term dysfunctional is a compound word made up of the root word function. Function means the natural or proper action for which a person, office, mechanism, or organ is fitted or employed. Something's function has to do with its intended purpose or design. And the prefix dys, D-Y-S, means diseased, disordered, impaired, faulty, or bad. Hence, to say that something is dysfunctional is to say that it is so diseased, so disordered, or impaired that it cannot fulfill its purpose or that for which it was designed to do. You know, you hear a lot today, Denny and Frank, about the dysfunctional families. And I don't know of a better term to describe the condition of many, perhaps most families in our world today other than diseased, disordered, and impaired. These are accurate adjectives to describe the condition of the home. And really, this is the problem of our society, isn't it?
That's right. You know, God has a plan for our lives, and in particular our homes. He has a plan that involves, you know, one man, the husband, one wife, that are working together to bring that home to maturity and to bring glory to God, to bring those children up so that they follow God. That's God's plan. He wants us to have an orderly home. God is not the author of confusion.
Exactly.
And he wants order even in society. The first thing that God created in this world, as far as order goes, after the creation of the world itself, was the home. You know, you have Adam and Eve that were brought together, God creating Eve from Adam, and they were married, they were joined together, the two become one flesh, and they work together for a common purpose. That's God's plan from the beginning. It's still God's plan now, as we learn in Matthew 19. We are to have one man, one woman that work together, that love each other, that love God, and raise those children to come up and do what's right.
Exactly. Frank, wouldn't you say that any time we go against God's pattern, whether it be in salvation or worship or, as we're talking about today, in our family, don't we find ourselves in great trouble when we stray away from God's pattern of the family?
And as you said, Tom, it doesn't really make any difference which area you may be looking at. When we leave the plan that God has given, problems inevitably are the result. You've mentioned time or two that I'm a little bit older than you are. And
Not a little bit, Frank.
Well, quite a bit older. But I can remember when I was first started preaching that all of a sudden one of the things that came out of our society was the idea that the home was old-fashioned,
mm-hmm.
that we didn't need a home, husband, wife, that two people could live together if it works fine, if it don't work. And if we back up to that period of time, that generation and a half ago, and look at the condition of the world and the home and our young people, and then look today, you can see what happens when we choose to do something other than God's way.
Exactly. And to show us, now tonight we're talking about dysfunctional families and how it's affecting our society, how it's affecting our kids, and when it affects our kids, it affects everyone around about us. And to show us just for a moment how much of a problem this really is, I went on the internet today and received some information on dysfunctional families and the results of it. Now, these statistics are from 2003, and so they're 10 years old, and you know they hadn't gotten any better.
No.
And so when we look at these statistics of 2003, you're going to see just how bad a dysfunctional family affects our society. For example, one of two children will live in a single-parent family at some point in their lives. One in three children are born to unmarried parents. One in four lives with one parent. One in eight is born to a teenage mother. And one in 25 live with neither parent. And what is astounding to me is that 68.7% of American youth are living in non-traditional families, or we might call them dysfunctional families. I mean, that's 7 out of 10 in our nation who are living in dysfunctional families. And if that was not enough, notice also that 75% of children or adolescents have chemical dependencies. They are from single-parent families. So what we're saying here is 75% of our drug problem in our world today comes from children from dysfunctional families. Also, 1 out of 5 children have learning, emotional, or behavior problems due to dysfunctional families. And more than 1/2 of all youths who are incarcerated for criminal acts live in one-parent families. And get this, 63% of all suicides are individuals from single-parent families. And one more astounding statistic, 75% of teenage pregnancies are adolescents from single-parent homes. Now, Denny and Frank, that just tells us how big of a problem we have here in America, where we find that 7 out of 10 of our families now, our children are coming from dysfunctional families. And Frank, you were bringing this home to us a moment ago, talking about in our area right here in Stephenville, how that there's a great number of dysfunctional families there with your great-granddaughter.
Well, in our school system today, in one particular class that I was familiar with, there's 17 children. Only 2 of the 17 lived with a mother and father. The rest of them were from single-parent, grandparent, dysfunctional homes.
And what kind of effect do y'all think this is really having on our society?
Well, it's certainly not positive, is it?
Well, you usually seen from the statistics that it's not, right?
When I see those statistics, the first thing that I think of is God knew what he was doing when he set up the plan.
Exactly.
He knew what he was doing when it was Adam and Eve and they had a family. Mm-hmm. He knew what he was doing in the New Testament when he tells us the same thing. And a father who is the head of the household, who teaches his children and takes responsibility for the care and upbringing of those children, who loves his wife, who treats her with respect and dignity and gives himself for her, like we read about in Ephesians 5:22 and following. You know, God knew what he was doing. And we think we know everything today. We think we have all the answers. We know better than God. And as a result, we're facing the consequences of our own behavior.
Exactly. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion, is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And if you're on the Internet at knowthetruthradio.org, you can also be involved in the chat box that we've got going on there. Usually there's lots of action taking place there. So if you'd like to get in with a comment or question, we encourage you to do so on the chat box or by calling us at 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about dysfunctional families and how it's really affecting our society very adversely. And when we talk about dysfunctional families, one of the things that we see about this, as is seen in the definition, is that it's not normal. It's diseased. It's broken. And one of the things that's causing dysfunctional families are single-parent homes. Now, there's two basic reasons, really, why we have single-parent homes. And one of them, Frank, is sex out of wedlock. That's a big problem in our day, isn't it?
That's probably one of the largest problems that we have. And it's promoted in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
That in our schools, they teach safe sex instead of refraining from sex until you're married.
You know, there's one school up in the Northeast that have condom dispensers in the schools. And what is that doing?
It's not just one school. That's getting to be a prevalent thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Denny made mention a moment ago of something that God had the right idea. God gave us the right way. Someone made the observation about God, said, unless we're able to create a universe in 5 days, we need to be careful about questioning God.
Exactly. That's a good point. Now, again, when we're looking back at these statistics, where it says that 75% of teenage pregnancies are adolescents from single-parent families. Well, the Bible knew what it was talking about, didn't Denny, when it was talking about fleeing fornication and things of that nature?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when you have a father and a mother that are working together,
mm-hmm.
one of the things they're able to do is teach, to model what proper behavior is. They're also going to be able to be there to provide authority and some leadership. You know, if we don't have that kind of proper authority in our lives, it's going to be hard for us to learn right and wrong. You know, if I was left to myself as a teenager or a young child, I could get myself in a lot of trouble in a hurry. I'm very thankful for a father who was a preacher and who's now a preacher and an elder, and a mother who was a great mother who loved God, and they brought me up. That means they disciplined me, they guided me, they directed me, they corrected me when I was making dumb decisions. You know, that's part of the plan as we grow and develop. We need those godly parents that will keep us out of that trouble.
Exactly. I've got a comment here on the chat box from Marty. She says, this is so appropriate for the day I've had. She says, my summer school class has 12 students, 7th grade, and one of my girls has a 5-month-old baby. The dysfunctional impact of the classroom is very severe. You know, that's almost hard to imagine, isn't it? A 7th grader having a 5-month-old baby.
But you know, in some of the bigger school districts, they have entirely separate school facilities mm-hmm. set up just for the women who are in this situation, teenage pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And there are very young girls all the way up through those who are about to graduate that are in that same boat.
Exactly.
It's very common.
You know, when we think about the idea of sex out of wedlock and the cause of single-parent homes and therefore dysfunctional family, the Hebrews writer said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, "Let marriage be had in honor among all, and let the bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge." You see, God has set up a plan that our sexual appetite is to be satisfied only where?
In marriage.
In the marriage relationship. And if we were to do things God's way, we're not going to have any seventh graders with a five-month-old baby.
Right.
And we're not going to have 75% of all teenage pregnancies coming from a single parent home. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, it says to flee fornication. When I think about fleeing, I think about running the opposite direction, don't you?
That's right.
You remember Joseph, when Potiphar's wife was coming to him and wanted to have sexual relationship with him? What did Joseph say about that?
Oh, he said he wouldn't sin against God by doing that.
That's the key right
there. And he ran the other way. That's part of it, is that respect and reverence for God.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we look at this idea of dysfunctional families, and we're talking about dysfunctional families tonight and how it affects our society. And remember, the number to call if you'd like to get involved in the questions or comments, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We also have some activity going on in the chat box. If you'd like to get involved in there. And Connie makes a good point. You know, some people have the definition of what a dysfunctional family is all reversed, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
She says, "I have been deemed a dysfunctional family because of discipline I give to my children and because I received it also. A lack of discipline is a major point of dysfunction." You know, we are living in a society, aren't we, Frank, where there's a lot of people who are looking down on any kind of corporal punishment that takes place in a family. There was a guy by the name of Dr. Spock a while back, didn't he? He said, "You're not supposed to, you know, get involved in your kids' life, let them do whatever they want to, because if you don't let them do what they want to, well, you're going to infringe on their individuality." But the Bible's pretty clear on our having discipline in the family, aren't they, Frank?
Not only that, but even a man like that, after a long number of years, realized his own mistakes and admitted that what he had taught was wrong. And the reason that he could admit that it was wrong, he saw the results. You know, we talk about a dysfunctional family. One of the things that makes us dysfunctional is what it teaches. It can't teach that which is good or that which is positive, and children are going to learn from that with which they live, and they're going to practice it in their life.
Exactly.
You know, part of the issue is, if you don't have discipline in the home, you don't learn that respect or reverence or even fear of the consequences of behavior, mm-hmm. and you grow up without that fear and respect of God. You know, in Romans chapter 3, we often talk about verse 10 where it says there's none righteous, no, not one, or verse 23 where we've all fallen short of the glory of God because of our sin. Mm-hmm. But in that same discussion, it talks about these people who they don't seek God, they turn aside to their own lusts, they use their tongue as a sinful tool instead of something that's used for good, and they even are swift to shed blood. All these wicked things that are going on, and verse 18 says, the reason for that is there is no fear of God before their eyes.
Exactly.
Well, if you grow up in a home without discipline and instruction and guidance, you're not going to have respect and reverence for authority, and that would include God. So why would you follow his way?
Exactly.
Why would you follow his plan?
Now, tonight we're talking about dysfunctional families and how it's having an ill effect in our society. And I want to remind you tonight about what dysfunctional really means. The word function means a natural or proper action for which a person, office, mechanism, or organ is fitted or employed. Something's function has to do with its intended purpose or design. Its intended purpose or design. The prefix dys means disease, disordered, impaired, faulty, or bad. Hence, to say that something is say that it is so diseased, disordered, or impaired that it cannot fulfill its purpose or that for which it was designed to do. And we see that exactly taking place in our society today. Our families are not doing its intended purpose. It's not fulfilling its design. And we see it every day looking around our world and the way that our kids are doing. And one of the reasons for dysfunctional families is single-parent homes. And that comes one way as a result of fornication. Sex out of wedlock, teenagers having sex, and as Marty mentioned on the chat box a moment ago, in her classroom, a seventh grader, of all things, having a five-month-old baby. And we've noted passages like Hebrews 13 and verse 4, Colossians, or 1 Corinthians 16, verse 18, that we are to flee from fornication. Sex is to be had only in the marriage relationship. Colossians 3, verse 5 says we are to put to death fornication. But there's also another thing that causes single-parent homes, and that's divorce. What does the Bible say about divorce?
One of the things we read about in the Old Testament in the prophecy of Malachi, in chapter 2 and verse 16, is God hates divorce. God understands the consequences that come from it as you read that text. It's going to bring a lot of problems in life whenever we separate. God wants us to be together until death do us part, as we often say in the wedding vows. You know, Romans 7, verse 1 and following tells us that's when that bond is broken. That's what we should be doing. And it's going to take some humility and some love and care for the other person in order to get through problems in life. The solution is not to break up the home.
Exactly.
The solution is to come to God and follow His plan.
Now, there are situations when a family is broken up, but God only gives one scriptural reason for divorce, doesn't He, Frank?
He only has one scriptural reason that a family can be divided by divorce and remarriage. And He said that's for fornication, sexual immorality.
Exactly. Now, a lot of times, though, people want to break up the family too quickly, right? It gets difficult. You know, a lot of people treat marriage like flies on a door screen. Those on the outside want in, those on the inside are wanting out. And they treat marriage like it's not like going steady or something. But God says when we become husband and wife, it's to be for a lifetime. And we've seen by the statistics that we have before us and by looking at the television and then reading the newspaper how one-parent homes just does not work. God knew exactly what He was doing in the very beginning when He instituted the family, one man, one wife for life, and those two, as husband and wife, procreate and not otherwise.
God gives us the function of the home as it was intended and the results of a home that it functions as God gave it. And now we can see in the statistics that you've been giving what happens in the home that does not function as God intended and becomes dysfunctional.
Exactly.
It becomes diseased. And the results that we're looking at are the results that come from not following God's word.
You know, Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. And He goes on to explain that children are a blessing to the family from God, there are some responsibilities for the parents involved in that passage. But the first thing He says is, unless you build your home according to God's pattern, you're wasting your time. It's in vain. Because if you're not following God's plan, you're going to end up with problems. That's true in every avenue, but it couldn't be more important to our society today than in the home.
Exactly. You know, I think of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, where we're told that all things have been given unto us that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that's called us to glory and virtue.
Hello, Thomas Moore. You have a caller. To accept the call...
Hello, welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition. Call ended. We missed out on that call. It was Zane calling in. Zane, call us back if you've got a question or comment. We're talking tonight about dysfunctional families and the importance of really getting back to God's pattern.
Hello. Thomas Moore. You have a call.
Hello. Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your name and your question or comment, please.
Yeah, my name is Zane.
Hey,
how
Zane.
You guys doing?
Good, Zane. What's on your mind?
In y'all's talk about dysfunctional families, there's one thing in some research I was doing, I found interesting, at least, or not in a good way, is that 83% of all abortions also all happen in dysfunctional families, 16% of which from either widowed or divorced women, and 67% of which from unmarried pre-marriage young ladies. So that's another thing that I think fits into this talk on dysfunctional family.
Exactly. That's a very good point. And and that's a very sad state of affairs, isn't it? When our young ladies are making a mistake, instead of keeping the child and going with it, they abort the child. That's a very horrible thing that's taking place in our world.
Yeah, and keep in mind with the statistics y'all are giving for what percentage are dysfunctional, that doesn't count the ones that are getting aborted.
Yeah, exactly. That's very true. Mm-hmm. And so that just makes the number just
skyrocket.
Skyrocket, just unfathomable, the number of that taking place. Very good point, Zane. You got anything else in your mind?
No, that's just what I wanted to kind of add to y'all's discussion, just to give y'all something to chew on there.
All right, I appreciate that. That's a very good point. Thank you. Thank you, Zane.
Thank you.
Zane was mentioned that a lot. I think what did he say? 83% I think he ended up saying 60 some odd percent.
67, I think.
Percent of the abortions were taking place by unwed young mothers,
mm-hmm.
And so there's another repercussion of the evil of sex before marriage,
mm-hmm.
And then when he put that in there in light of how much fornication is taking place with dysfunctional families, and then you add on the abortions that's taking place, the number is just beyond comprehension.
And when a person can get national headlines because they promote abortions when a baby, a term, is approaching 6 months livable, and our nation applauds her and tells us that she's one of the greatest things that ever was, that gives us good insight as to the direction our nation and our people are going.
You know, in connection with divorce, Marty makes a comment on here that God also states you should not yoke yourself to someone unequally. And God knew that you must start equally with a focus on God. Well, what I see from that is, and don't y'all believe it's true, that when we're looking for our spouse, we need to be looking for someone who has similar spiritual goals as we do, because that goes a long way in helping preventing a divorce, wouldn't you say?
Well, absolutely. If your focus is first on God then on your partner, before you consider the things of this world, you're going to live in accordance with his plan. You know, I've mentioned to my kids before, you know, a lot of times we think that our teenagers have to date each other and spend all this time around each other and get to know each other and things along those lines, and that's not true. You know, I'm not suggesting that we should have arranged marriages, but back when they did, sometimes they didn't even know each other. How about Isaac, 40 years old, meets his wife, marries her, and is able to serve God. We can do what's right if our dedication, number one, is to God. We're going to, you know, even if they did date each other for 2 years, you guys know, both know, you've been married long enough, you know that after those wedding vows, you start to really find out who the
exactly.
other person is.
You know, in all this, we might also add that sometimes people do make mistakes, right? There are going to be young ladies and young men who have sex out of wedlock and they've made a mistake and they've realized they've made a mistake. And when we make the mistake, we need to repent. There's going to be shame involved. Anytime you sin, there's going to be shame involved. But you should not allow shame to cause you to abort a child. You should not let shame keep you from doing what you ought to be doing. When we find ourselves in a sinful situation through perhaps having a child out of wedlock, what do? Well, you repent of your sins and you try to make it right to the best of your ability. God will forgive any sin if it's repented of. Right, fellas?
Exactly right.
So we've got to realize that in regard to our discussion. Now, we're going to talk more about this in a moment, but it's about time for us to take a radio break. You are listening to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, "Those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God," Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HPR network or any of its agents.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ here in Hamilton, Texas. And with me tonight is Denny Wilson, who preaches for the De Leon Church of Christ, De Leon, Texas, and also Frank Briscoe, who preaches for Santo, and also Glenn Rose here pretty quick, Church of Christ. I've been preaching for some 57 years, and we're having a little bit of a round table discussion tonight talking about dysfunctional families and the effect that it's having on our young people today. We've looked at such statistics that 70% of our children nowadays are coming from dysfunctional families. We see that some 75% of teenage pregnancies are coming from children from dysfunctional families. We had a lady who chimed in on the chat box saying that she's a teacher and that she was teaching seventh graders. And there was a seventh grader who had a five-month-old baby. And that shows you just how horrible our society is becoming through dysfunctional families. We were talking about single-parent homes is one of the reasons why families are dysfunctional. And we've become single-parent homes because of fornication. There is sex out of wedlock. There's no husband involved, no man in the family. The Bible talks about how we ought to flee fornication. We talked about divorce and how that is another dysfunctional part of single-parent families. When we divorce, God has given only one reason. There's another horrible dysfunction in families that's taking place today. And I want to get my comrades' view on this and comments about it. And that is homosexuality. There are a lot of homosexuals now who are trying to adopt children. What do you think about that, guys?
So the 1 Corinthians 6 passage in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians and verses 9 through 11 makes it very clear that God doesn't approve of it. And I think that's where we have to start.
Exactly.
But our mission ought to be not to hate those involved in that sin, but to teach them the truth.
Exactly.
The same passage, verse 11, says, such were some of you. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is that our society is going the other way. With the Supreme Court ruling a few days ago, we see them allowing and encouraging the homosexual relationships being allowed to have marriage, including being encouraged even to raise their own children that they adopt or that are generated from in vitro fertilization through a donor and things along those lines. It's not God's plan for the home. It's sin. Mm-hmm. And it puts those children in a situation where they're going to grow up with a family that is based in sin.
Exactly.
There's almost no chance that situation is going to promote anything good in those kids' lives.
Mm-hmm. You know, we, a while back, I forget how long now, David and I were talking about, there was an article that was written by someone who was doing a study of kids who were coming from homosexual families and all of the problems that they were having as a result of that. Well, Frank, any time, again, we get away from God's standard, God's way of doing anything, we're asking for problems, aren't we?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'd like to point out something that so many people out there will attempt to say, or they will say, well, you know, the Bible doesn't condemn that. Well, the Bible does specifically over and over again condemn it. What people, if they would be honest to start with, they would acknowledge the fact that the Bible condemns it. I just don't agree with it.
Exactly. That's the true statement there.
But what they will try to do, and they hope people will not check them and see, is they'll get up and say, well, the Bible doesn't condemn it. Yet we know that it does. And if they would be honest, they would simply say, I don't believe the Bible.
Exactly. You know, and that's the big problem in our day with regard to a great many things. You know, and people have gone so far with that idea that they have recently come up with what was called the Queen James Bible, where that translation of the Bible is going in and taking everything out that has anything to do in a negative way with homosexuality. That's just simply rewriting the Bible. That's just simply saying, I know what the Bible says, I don't believe it, so I'm going to write my own Bible. Homosexuality and having children, didn't it tell you that if two homosexual couples have to adopt a child, that tells you something wrong right there, because in the very beginning, God did what? He created man and woman to procreate, you know? And so we've got to realize that there's all kinds of dysfunctional families with regard to one-parent families or homosexual families, and really that is the crux of much of the problem. But some dysfunctional families also occur. There may be a father and a mother involved in the family, but when the father and the mother in the family are not teaching the kids correctly, or maybe they're drug dealers, or maybe they're alcoholics, that also brings about dysfunction in the family.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you're not following God's plan in your role as the father to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6 and verse 4, to train that child as he grows and matures, Proverbs 22 and verse 6, bring up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it, you are going to have difficulty. You have a responsibility. You know,
Hello, Thomas Moore. You have a caller.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your name and comment, please.
Well, y'all got me riled up.
All right.
I'm still in Dallas, Texas.
All right, David, what's on your mind?
You mentioned something a while ago that is so true, but there's a flip side to it. You mentioned that a lot of people treat marriage as if they were going steady.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the great problems today is is that people treat going steady as if it were marriage.
Exactly.
You know, this is changed in the last 20 years dramatically. But not only are people that are going steady treating it as if it were marriage, the marriage commitment, the true lifetime commitment, is the problem between this oldest God-given institution that God gave us all the way back in Genesis chapter 2. They treat it as if they're going steady, just like you say. They make no lifetime commitment. Now, the point that I really want to make, I just want to set that as a preface, Jeremiah, throughout his prophecy, condemns leadership for their immorality. Because in positions of leadership, they have the potential to lead people astray who are looking for examples to follow. And our leaders in the United States of America over the last 20 or 30 years are responsible for degrading the morality that exists in this country.
Exactly.
And I would like to read just a passage of scripture,
right,
of those things that were written before time that we find in 2 Kings chapter 21. And it's about this evil king named Manasseh who had no regard for God's morality, God's righteousness, or any kind of godliness at all. And in chapter 21 and verse 11, we're told about this leader of God's people. It says, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations and has done wickedly above all of the Amorites did, which were before him, and has made Judah also to sin with idols. He goes on. Verse number 16, he says, moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other. Besides his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Here we have a leader that is going out of his way to impose his unrighteousness and his morality in the shedding of innocent blood and the promotion of homosexuality, and it looks just exactly like what's going on in this United States of America. We have a president that has never, not one single time, had a good thing to say about a normal family, mother and father and children, and yet when a homosexual basketball player comes out, he gets on national TV and sings his praises. That's the kind of country and that's the kind of leader we have, and that is one of the reasons our dysfunctional families are the way that they are today.
Exactly. That's a very excellent, excellent point, David. You know, we have all of these things going on, and we need leadership. Of course, leadership starts in the home, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's in the church. But also we need our national leaders to be men of moral character, and sadly we're very much lacking in that area.
You know, David, I noticed that he spoke up on a couple of other issues in our society recently, but he didn't speak up on the couple that is a homosexual couple that were molesting two of their children just a couple of weeks ago. He didn't speak up against the case that is today. The people withdrew their guilty plea and decided to fight the case over abusing their children who were homosexual. You know, he's not speaking up on any of those issues. You're absolutely right about that. He's only speaking up on those things where he thinks he might gain some political power rather than on things that are morally right.
Amen. And we got a problem. We got a real problem. And really, you know, when people say you can't mix politics and religion, you need to stop it. Because the fact that we have not put morality and righteousness at the forefront in selecting our representatives is the reason that we're in the shape that we have, that we're in right now. And like Frank said just a moment ago, we've got people in leadership positions that are saying it's okay to kill a six-month-old baby in the womb, and if you don't agree with it, you're some kind of a homophobe or a bigot, or you're against all kinds of women's rights. A woman doesn't have the right to murder a child.
Exactly.
For the sake of her body.
Exactly.
And we need to get away from that kind of mentality.
You're right. Most definitely right. So we've got to realize, you know, our nation, and David, you and I have talked about this many times in the past, our nation was founded on Bible principles. And what's wrong with our nation right now is that we're getting away from those biblical principles. And our families are getting away from those biblical principles. And sadly, in many churches, they're getting away. from biblical mm-hmm. principles. And this is the problem. This is why we have dysfunctional families, because as you mentioned in the case of Manasseh, the leadership, whether it be in the home or in the church or in our nation, is leading people into sin.
Amen.
Appreciate it, David.
I love the program tonight, and thank you so much for attacking this this topic. Y'all are doing a great job. I'll listen in.
All right. Well, we look forward to you being here next Monday.
Yeah, we love you, David. You know, one of the things that I wanted to bring out in this discussion is that just because the rest of the world is doing all these things, Tom, that doesn't mean we have to.
Exactly.
You know, in the church, we need to stand strong. And just like David said, with leadership. But each member needs to stand up. Not just the elders, not just the preacher, but each member needs to stand up and do what's right. In the home, just because someone else is doing something that's sinful in their home doesn't mean that I should. I need to be the father and the husband that God requires of me. My wife needs to be the mother and the wife that God requires of her. My children need to follow the pattern that's laid out for them in Scripture. And if we will do our part, at least we can save our own families, and then we can reach out to others with the gospel and with our example.
Exactly right.
You know, in any activity, we look at the results to determine whether or not it has been successful or unsuccessful. And if we look at the family, and look at the family that functions as God instructed, look at the results of those families.
You're right.
Now, occasionally, there will be someone that will make a mistake or fall, but the vast high percent of those that are doing what God said, the result is they live a good life. Look at the results of those that are ignoring God. And then we get into the statistics that you were mentioning, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10 of them becoming unwed mothers, becoming incarcerated somewhere, or on welfare. Where do they go? The results tells us that it is a malfunctioning home and that it is something that is going to bring about the ruin of the individuals, families, and possibly even the nation itself.
We only have about 9 minutes left. This program has gone, just whizzed by.
True.
But there's two things I want us to do before we close today. One thing is, let's talk briefly about what we can do to turn things around. You know, we've got to do something to turn things around in this dysfunctional society. And secondly, as has already been brought up a little bit, sometimes people do make mistakes. What can we do to remedy the mistakes that we have made so we can get going back in the right direction? And let's start there. When somebody does make a mistake, maybe they've had a child of wedlock, or maybe at one time they were involved in homosexuality. Mm-hmm. How do we get from that and start going back in the right direction? How do we do that?
First step is understanding God's law, His will for our lives. And then when we see ourselves in the mirror of His Word, when we look into that perfect law of liberty, we make the changes in our lives. We repent. We stop what we've been doing that's sinful, and we bring our lives into submission with His plan.
Exactly. And Frank, how are we going to come to understand what God's will is for us? How are we going to see what God wants us to do?
The only way that we can know what God wants us to do is listen to Him.
Uh-huh.
Let God teach us. When we turn to His Word for guidance and direction, then we can know the way that we ought to live, the things that we ought to do. This is what we need to be teaching our children. Instead of this is what man says or this is what society says, what does God say?
So it all starts with getting back to the book, right?
That's right.
Getting back to God's Word and let God's Word direct us how to get out of sin, how to repair the damage that is done. And in doing that also, you know, we've got to stop. You stop what you're doing that's wrong.
Right.
You repent and begin to do something that's right.
Right. So well, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death.
That's right.
The end thereof is death. You know, if we follow man's plan, we're in trouble.
Exactly.
We've got to come back to God. You know, one of the things I was thinking about from Deuteronomy 6, you know, that's a great passage. It tells about how the family should function. It includes grandparents. We usually start dealing with the parents in verse 6 and following, but chapter, up in the earlier part of that chapter, it talks about grandparents and parents involved. How do they do that? They teach their children daily, when they get up, when they lie down, when they walk by the way. In other words, parents have to be involved in the lives of their children every day and throughout the day, not just occasionally on a weekend when you go fishing. You know, you can't just send your kids to school and let them be involved in every activity under the sun and expect to have influence on them. We have to be involved in their lives.
So to get over sin and also to stop the dysfunctional family, it all starts with our teaching at home, doesn't it?
That's right.
Biblical teaching. And so our youth have to be taught the Bible,
Amen.
The purity of the Bible. But, you know, in doing that, one of the most important things that we teach our children, Frank, is respect for authority.
You know, I think that this is where it begins. And the authority, first of all, parents need to teach their children that in such a way that their children respect their parents and the authority of their parents. And when they fail to demand their children respect them, children don't respect the teacher, they don't respect the law, they don't respect the nation, they don't respect the church. That it begins with learning that there is an authority out there and that God is ultimate authority.
Exactly. And so if we don't learn to respect authority in the home, then we're not going to
respect it anywhere.
Like, right. We're not going to respect it in the church. We're not, and in our society, they're not going to respect the authority of our laws of the land. You know, our jails, our prisons are full of people who have no respect for authority. And so when we think about this idea of trying to turn around the dysfunctional family, it begins at home. We teach them what the Bible has to say. We teach them about having proper respect for authority. But another thing I believe we've got to teach our children is that there are consequences
mm-hmm.
to their actions.
That's right.
What does the Bible have to say about the consequences to our actions?
Well, each and every one of us are going to be responsible. We're going to be held accountable
exactly.
for how we live. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. But as we study the Bible, we learn that our function in life is to please God, and so we're striving to do what's right. But if we do something that's wrong, just like if you reach out and grab a pan on the stove, you're going to get burned. That's a consequence of it. If you violate God's will, you are in sin, and the wages of sin is death. Not necessarily physical death at that exact moment, but spiritual death. We're going to be lost eternally. And we have to impress upon our young people in our homes, our family, and the people of this world that there is something greater than this life, and that is eternal life with God.
You know, sometimes, go ahead, Frank.
Okay, the entire 18th chapter of the book of Ezekiel is given over to the fact that each individual is going to be held responsible for his own actions.
Exactly.
And that responsibility is going to come to him, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we think about the situation that our world finds itself in, when they realize that when you commit a sin, when you're involved in fornication, there are consequences involved. There is pregnancy. There is disease. Any time that we do things that are contrary to God's will, there are adverse consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in this life, but always in the life to come.
You know, there's a lack of respect in the workforce as well. You know, it's not only affecting the home, it's not only affecting the church, but, you know, a lot of people in business, when the younger generation is coming into the workforce, they're finding that they won't follow the rules, they're finding that they won't carry out their job, that they don't come in their uniform, they don't have respect, they just do what they want. That's sad, and actually the Christians should be better than that. They should be the best worker in that employment.
Yeah, we have about 2.5 minutes left. What I want to also mention here in closing is another thing that really needs to be had done in our families to avoid dysfunction is that the parents in a family need to be good examples.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the teaching, you know, that's of course in the forefront, But if you tell your children not to lie and not to steal, and yet they see that you're cheating on your income tax or you're speeding, they see that we are hypocrites. And it's important for us as parents and grandparents to be a great example for our kids. And when we aren't the kind of example we ought to be, we're going to find ourselves having difficulty in our families. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, it says that Abraham commanded his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But then you have men like Eli who didn't constrain his family. All right, we got a caller in here.
Hello, Thomas Moore. You have a caller.
All right, caller, give us your name and comment. We only have about a minute and a half, so you better talk fast.
Hey, I can talk fast, Thomas. Barry.
All right, Barry, what's up?
No, I was just thinking about what you were talking about. And the biggest problem, you're talking about they don't respect. They don't teach respect, don't have respect in the home. But the biggest problem is they don't have respect for God.
Exactly.
They make God what God's not. I have talked to people, and they say they were living in a sin. We look at the scripture and say, yeah, you know what? That is not right, but I've asked God to forgive me for it. They're still living in it. Mm-hmm. They haven't truly repented. They have no concept. They have made God what he's not and made God to fit their life instead of them being submissive to God. When they do that, then, of course, that tears the family down. They can't teach it to their kids because they're not doing it. So, as Hosea, 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what the problem is. Anyway, I'll get off the phone and let y'all comment on that right quick.
Well, I appreciate it, Barry. And, you know, that's exactly right. It all boils down to having the proper respect and authority for God. And, of course, that begins by being taught at home. We teach our children respect. You know, there's nothing that's more irritating to me than to see children back talk and show disrespect to their parents, and we see it every day. You can't go into Walmart or HEB without seeing that kind of disrespect. But I'll tell you one thing, if I ever disrespected my father as a child, I'd be picking myself up off the ground. It was not allowed, and we oughtn't to allow it. We've got to show the proper respect for our parents and for God. Well, this hour has gone way too fast, but I think we had a hit on a timely topic tonight, one that maybe we'll talk more about in the future. But dysfunctional families is a big problem in our world today, and basically, to stop the problem, we're going to have to get back to the Bible. Frank, Denny, it was great having you in our audience and in our chat room tonight, in our roundtable discussion. We appreciate all the work you've done helping and filling in for David while he's gone. We pray that God would bless you in your local work. But until next time, we pray that God would bless you as you do his will. You have been listening to the HPR Network.